Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We will begin our service this evening by hearing God's Word as it is recorded in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, we will hear from verse 14 through 24. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Amen. Before we together study this text, I would first like to bring greetings of love and peace from those fellow travelers in my home congregation there in Detroit. There is a small flock endeavoring to hold fast to the same faith that we hear have gathered this weekend to speak and hear about. and be encouraged and strengthened in this faith. There are many also endeavor and wish to be remembered by you here as they have remembered you. This text, I'm sure, is one of the most familiar stories in the Bible that I'm sure even you young children have heard in Sunday school, perhaps at your homes. And it speaks of a portion of the life of Daniel. Daniel, at the time of this text, lived in a city called Babylon, which is in present-day Iraq. And he had been brought there along with many others some 600 or so years before the birth of Christ. He had lived in his youth in Jerusalem. And at that time, that city where the children of Israel lived, that southern tribe of Judah, was overtaken by King Nebuchadnezzar. And we can even turn to that first book of the book of Daniel, how he wanted to bring certain of the children of Israel back to Babylon. I believe this is some 600 or 700 miles away. And he wanted to bring those who were well favored, as it says here, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the and the tongue of the Chaldeans. King Nebuchadnezzar did not wish to destroy all the people of Israel, but you could say he took the cream of the crop back to Babylon to serve him. And perhaps also he thought that in doing so they would not be able to even organize those who were left behind into any way to, you could say, attack back and gain that city back. But here already, in this time, was a very sad time for the people of Israel. This exile, you could say, where they were brought back to some so far away from their homeland. Even one of the Psalms tells us in this way. We even have a song in our hymnal that speaks from this psalm, By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It was a very sad time. But yet, Daniel, with three of his friends, they were young people. Had to immediately, you could say, confess their faith. For when they were brought there, the king appointed to them a daily provision of his meat and of the wine in which he drank, so that in nourishing them 3 years, they might stand before the king. Daniel knew in his heart that he could not defile himself in this way. He did not wish to drink the wine that the king drank. And he asked of one of those king's men that he not have to do this. He understood, as we even know in Scripture today, as even the Apostle Paul has written, that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. He did not wish to have this sin upon his conscience. But that prince who was overseeing him, giving him that food and drink, feared the king. He feared what would happen if Daniel and his friends would appear before the king and not look as well as the other people. But Daniel said in this way, give us 10 days. Give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And let you look upon us and see if we look any different than those that are eating the king's meat and the king's drink. And this pulse was, I believe, some sort of vegetable. I don't know its exact construction. Would it be something like chickpeas or peas or beans that he desired to eat? And even you young children here now have no defense when you go home and are instructed to eat your vegetables. For Daniel asked for this kind of food. And when those 10 days were up, they faces and countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat that portion of the king's meat. And so They were not required then. The prince agreed to their request, and he gave them that which they desired to eat. And it tells us here, then God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. God blessed those young believer boys there in that foreign land, taken away into a very foreign place away from their homes. He gave them that wisdom to live in that land, in that land of exile so far away from their home. This skill in interpreting dreams was to benefit Daniel much in his time there living in Babylon. But in the text we have heard here tonight, Daniel is no longer a young man. I believe some have calculated him to be some 80 years old at the time of this text. And there is a new king ruling the land, a king by the name of Darius. And it tells us here in the beginning of this chapter we read from, that he has set 120 princes over his kingdom. And over these 120 princes, there were three presidents. And ruling over these three presidents was Daniel. The king thought so highly of Daniel that he had set him over his entire kingdom. Why was this? King Darius knew Daniel and knew he was a man that he could trust, that he was an honest man. He certainly was not perfect, but he had shown those kind of fruits of his faith, that the king knew that he would not have any financial losses when Daniel was ruling over his kingdom. But these princes who and presidents who were under Daniel, they did not like this. Perhaps they had other thoughts or ideas of how they could rule to their own advantage, perhaps to their own financial gain. It doesn't tell us in this chapter what exactly they wish to do if Daniel was not there over them. But it is evident from what they wanted to do that they did not like Daniel. And they sought to find some fault against him. But they could, as it tells us here, they could find none occasion nor fault But then they looked in another way. That they said in this way, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They thought of Daniel in the same way that many on the outside of God's kingdom think of we and how we believe. They think that there is some rule book somewhere here to be found outlining all the laws of things, of do's and don'ts. Things we can do, things we can't do. They saw this. That was their perception of how they saw the faith of Daniel. But we know that Daniel believed like you and I. We do not live under the law. For to live under the law means to be judged under the law. To be able to live such a perfect life that at the final day, one would be able to stand before God and be able to be found perfect, that we have done no wrong throughout our life. But we know, even from the very first moments when we awake in the morning, that we are great sinners. But we are pardoned sinners. We have that Spirit of God in us that pushes that schoolmaster of the law aside and allows us to live in faith, freely believing that we don't have to concern ourselves with attempting to live some sort of perfect life, but rather we know that we are sinners in our words and our thoughts and our deeds. But we also are pardoned sinners. And God has sent His Son unto this earth on our behalf, so that when we do find ourselves at that day of judgment, that our Lord and Savior stands with us and has carried us there, and next to our name will be written "no sin," for His righteousness is our righteousness when we believe upon Him and His work. These princes and presidents, though, came together and they began to consider how they could trap Daniel And so they went to this king. And they asked him that he make a royal decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. That only all the subjects of this kingdom could only turn to the king in prayer or any kind of request or petition, as it is said here. If they were to speak to another king or another god, they would be cast into the den of lions. And so King Darius was, you could say, tricked into signing this law. But again, Daniel, knowing this was now the law of the land, he went into his house, and the windows were open there in his rooms. And it says that he knelt there towards Jerusalem, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his habit. And these princes came, and they found Daniel praying and making requests before his God. And they brought him before the king. And they came and asked the king, did you not sign this law that says that no man should ask of any god except you, O king, for 30 days? And the king said, yes, this is true. I have signed such a law and put it into place. And it was also, as we heard in our text, that the king was sore displeased with himself. He was sorry that he had done this act. And it says here he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, to try to find some way of freeing him from this punishment. And it says he labored till the going down of the sun. He spent the rest of the day trying to find some, you could say, loophole maybe. But these men came to him and said, is it not the law of the land that no decree nor statute with the king established may be changed? That once you have made this law, it has to remain in place. And so the king commanded that Daniel was cast into the den of lions. But before doing so, you could say he told Daniel in this way, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He perhaps did he believe his own words? We don't really know. It seems difficult even for us to imagine that anyone would survive such a fate. And so the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king went back to his palace. It says here he spent the night fasting. He could not eat. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And it says here also his sleep went from him. He had a very long night. And it tells us here that when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? This voice, lamentable voice, tells us that the king was probably not expecting an answer. When we think of our own lives of faith, perhaps we have not ever been in such a situation as Daniel was in, where our very life was at risk. Certainly, perhaps not by such a horrific possibility of the end of life. But we certainly have had, throughout our lives, times of trials that have come. And the king asks a very good question here that we can also ask of ourselves. That is your God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. And we could ask it in this way this evening. Has God kept you, dear brother and sister, in living faith? Has he kept you alive? Has he kept his spirit in your heart? And we know when we come to services, when we gather together with our fellow believers in our homes, with our families in the evening, there in those places of watching, the gospel is preached. That living water from heaven is poured out. And it is through our Heavenly Father that this message is proclaimed, through poor and weak servants, through poor and weak parents, from children speaking to their parents, and from parents to their children. We hear, as Jesus told, that man who was brought before him on his sickbed, "Thy sins be forgiven thee, be of good cheer." dear listener, this evening. You also can hear and be encouraged to believe this message, that your sins and your doubts and your shortcomings and all your temptations are forgiven in the name and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can believe unto peace, unto joy and freedom. You can believe that this message comes from the same God, that same God that Daniel in his time served so willingly. He was able here to say unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as they that have not hurt me, for as much as before his innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. In our time of troubles, God sends his angels to us. Perhaps when we think of angels, we think of perhaps some sort of creature, some heavenly creature that perhaps has large wings, perhaps that is described in certain ways in the Old Testament, as even the prophet Isaiah depicts them. But here in our life, have you not experienced, as I have, that have come those, you could say, everyday angels to us, to speak to us, to encourage us? I can relate to you in my own life of faith, how even those messengers from God can come when we don't even ask for them. It has been a long time since I have visited this area. It was even a little surprising for me to think about that I had spent some time here some 40 years ago, when I was a young man. But soon after that time, the enemy of souls was able to, you could say, pull me away from the kingdom of God. And I found myself living in this world. I had moved to the Detroit area to continue schooling. And it came at that time that my brother had decided to shouldn't say he decided, he and his wife had decided to get married. And so I came to Minneapolis for the wedding. I saw many people I had known before. I remember standing after the wedding in the pews of the Minneapolis church. And there came Elmer Olayoki to visit me. And I said, oh no, what is he going to say? And I really can't tell you tonight what he did say. He was friendly. He noticed me. He visited with me. That was probably, perhaps all. It wasn't much, but it was something. And it is a good reminder to us when we visit with those who do not own this great gift of faith, that God will give us words to speak in His time. And God even works in people's hearts as He sees fit. I returned home to Detroit. I had traveled there together. With a sister of my brother's wife. And we spoke about much in that long ride home. We spoke about everything you could think of, perhaps except faith. But when we arrived at my apartment there, we decided that perhaps we should go get something to eat. And we went to a restaurant and I opened the door and there was a lot of loud music coming from inside and I thought perhaps I should bring her to a different kind of place. And so we visited some more during that meal. And somewhere in there, she asked me a simple question. Why did you leave faith? There was only a simple one-word answer I could give. It was because of sin. We returned to my apartment, and there in the parking lot, she prepared to leave for her home and leave me there. And I knew in my heart at that moment that if she leaves, and I don't hear the gospel, I may never have
that moment again.
And so I asked that she preach the gospel to me. And so she did. And then another strange thing happened. For many times, I am sure, when you have come to services and you hear the gospel preached, the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus' name and blood, it warms your heart. And you feel great, you could say, feelings of joy. But at that moment for me, nothing changed. Everything was as it was before. And I, you could say, even thought in this way. It didn't work. But we don't believe. Our faith is not based on our feelings. We can come to services, and yes, we many times feel great joy in our hearts. But it also can be that it takes us many times to hear that gospel message. I think that is why sometimes we gather for festive events as this, so that over and over again we hear that same message, that we are encouraged in our faith. Those messengers from God, those angels, those everyday angels in our life, preach that gospel to us. And we can freely believe that our sins are forgiven, that they are drowned in the depths of the sea, that they are taken away as far as the east is from the west, regardless of how we happen to feel at that moment. It is a, you could say, a great place to be this evening, where we have come to gather around God's Word to be encouraged. And I certainly have come before you feeling my own weakness, my own temptations and doubts. And what I would ask, can I believe these many sins and doubts forgiven? It is our prayer that we can together remain believing. Hold this faith fast to your hearts, especially you, dear young ones. And it's not always the case that God will grant that grace to you that one would be tempted to go into this world for a little while and then perhaps make repentance at a later time, or perhaps before one leaves this earth. But our faith is a gift of God. Even if one would know the very moment of their own death, it does not assure one that God will open your heart. Think then of those two thieves on Good Friday's cross that were next to our Lord and Savior. Were there ever two men upon this earth who understood that the end was near? For they were about to be executed alongside our Lord and Savior. We know their stories, how one mocked Jesus and the other one was given that grace to believe. And Jesus was able to speak those words of comfort to him, that he would inherit paradise. God takes care of us here in this life of faith. He will send those everyday angels to you. He does not wish that any harm or hurt would have come upon you. And he will carry you if you can remain believing. So, this evening, once again, believe your many sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen.